Call Johnny now at 844-5600 and online at WNSR.com. And now, here's Johnny.
And welcome to hour number two, Johnny Ballpark Franks with you. Zach Williams making sure everything runs great. Coming up a little bit later this hour, around 5:35 or so, Teresa Walker with the Associated Press here in Nashville. But right now, a chance to talk some college football. Barrett Salee, not only a national college football writer with CBSSports.com, he's a co-host on SiriusXM College Sports Channel 84. Barrett, never a dull day. How about yesterday? That's why we can almost just pencil it in. We can talk college football 12 months out of the year. Were you surprised? Because honestly, with the fact that Tennessee back in November had launched an in-house investigation, to me, they were looking for issues. They were looking for reasons to cancel the extension for Jeremy Pruitt because of the 16-19 record.
Yeah, there's no doubt. And that's what Jeremy's going to claim in his lawsuit. And he's got a really good case for that because that's clearly what was happening. But yeah, they wanted him gone. There's no doubt. I think that the information they found, and they mentioned this in the press conference yesterday, was pretty significant and concerning. So, yeah, they set out to try to find a way to fire him with cause. It's not an accident that the news of the investigation comes out during the final game of the regular season, and it's not an accident that they put a hiring freeze on him. It's not an accident that they hire Kevin Steele without a position, just basically as a interim coach in waiting. Like, all that is set up. So, yeah, he's got a pretty good case, but there's no doubt it's a mess. Leave Tennessee to one up itself in terms of dysfunction because, man, they find new ways to do it.
Well, I think you, because of just how, quote-unquote, out there, you know, being proactive yesterday with the announcement and the fact that moving forward, this is just not acceptable, you know, as far as breaking rules. We want to win, but we want to do it the right way. Here's the thing. If you spend 3 years on a campus in the college athletics program, I don't care if it's football, basketball, whatever, you know where all the skeletons are. And what I'm throwing out there, you know, depending on what Jeremy Pruitt wants to do, this could get really ugly for the Tennessee program, not just what happened while Jeremy Pruitt was head coach, but other past, you know, things that was going on that campus.
Yeah, if he wants to go scorched earth, he absolutely can. And I think that's in the cards. That's certainly a possibility, considering he's not going to get a coaching job in college. Like, no. if he's going to get a significant show cause, based on what I'm hearing, like, this is pretty significant stuff that they found. So if he knows he's not going to get a college coaching job and his college coaching career is over, you know, going scorched earth might happen. And if that happens, then, yeah, Tennessee's in some big-time trouble. But, you know, it depends on how much Jeremy wants to lay out there and how much he really cares about his future. Because if he saved his money, even though he's not going to get paid by Tennessee, if he saved what he had, then, you know, he might be able to live that buyout life and take down the program at the same time if he wants.
Yeah, I got asked yesterday. I was on a radio station down in Tuscaloosa, and I was asked about Jeremy Pruitt somehow ending up on Nick Saban's staff. And, you know, basically I threw it out there. You know, nothing – I would never say never with Nick Saban as far as, you know, helping individuals rebuild their, you know, resume and put them back in a position like a Steve Sarkisian. But the thing is, because of the unknown factors of exactly what did Jeremy Pruitt do, what did he know – you can't really touch him until the investigation is done.
Yeah, I think that was kind of part of the plan, right? If Pete Golding left to go to Texas, then maybe Pruitt comes in there and is defensive coordinator, or they promote some folks from within, and there's a spot on the analyst staff for Jeremy Pruitt. Like, I think that was kind of what the one possible trajectory of this whole deal was, but based on what I'm hearing, and I mean, you're probably hearing the same thing, there's no way that you can have Pruitt on a staff right now. Just too toxic. So
right. If
that's the case, then yeah, there's no way he goes to the Nick Saban rehabilitation program.
But if somebody could do it, it'd be Nick Saban.
If somebody could do it, it would be Nick Saban. But I don't think he can get away with that right now.
Yeah, I'm not going to disagree with you there. As far as the direction, look, because of Derek Dooley not working out, because Butch Jones didn't work out, because Jeremy Pruitt didn't work out, it's almost to the point now where you start hearing names like Billy Napier, you hear Jamie Chadwell. I get that. You know, there's Hugh Freeze's name out there at Liberty. But, hey, I mean, so can you – if you're going to be looking at probation or the potential for probation, can you hire a coach that, oh, last major job he had, he got Ole Miss in trouble? Can you take a chance and go with a head coach from a Group of Five squad? See, I think now, because once again, we go back to Tennessee, 10th on the all-time list as far as wins in college football history. To me, it just seems like you have to go with somebody with head coaching experience with a Power Five team.
You do, but you have to find the right person who'll take that job and be patient with him. And I'm talking about, you know, being able to withstand 3 years of absolute ineptitude, right? Like, you can't sit here and say, oh, you're not contending for the East in 3 years, you're gone. Like, the coach has to be able to have time, and the program has to be able to give him time. And that's not easy to do. So, you know, Hugh Freeze would take it, but you're right. There's no way, even though I think the NCAA aspect of what Hugh Freeze got popped for at Ole Miss, in the grand scheme of things, is going to be small potatoes compared to what was going on at Tennessee. But still, you know, you can't really go down that road for the obvious reason. A guy like Jamie Chadwell, yeah, Tennessee might be his dream job, and yeah, he's from East Tennessee and all that. That's all well and good, but again, are you one to take that on? Because right now, you're kind of looking at Tennessee the same way Lane Kiffin should have looked at USC when he left Knoxville, because of all the issues that were coming down the pike from a scholarship production standpoint. So I don't know if that's the case. I think one guy that really should take it this year and who Tennessee should really look at, I know NFL folks will probably disagree with me, Bill O'Brien would be perfect right this very instant, because – think about what happened when he took over Penn State in 2013. They were decimated with scholarship reductions. I'm talking like as close to the death penalty as you could possibly get.
Right.
Now, a lot of those got lifted, obviously, with the lawsuits and everything. But, I mean, he navigated that program for 2 years through a really tough time. You know, so I think he would be an option. But ultimately for me, and I think this is what Tennessee probably should do and probably should want to do, is just let Kevin Steele have it this year, kind of like Jim Grobe at Baylor and Robbie Caldwell at Vanderbilt. Let him have it for a year, John L. Smith at Arkansas, and then if he coaches himself into a position where he can have it permanently, great. But I don't think any halfway decent coach, I'm talking like a Billy Napier or Bill Clark or whoever, I don't think any of those guys will take this job right now, knowing that there's this giant unknown. You know, moving forward. So they might be better off just saying, all right, look, let's let it simmer for a little while. These guys like Gus Malzahn and Tom Herman and some of these other guys are still going to be around next year available. Just chill out for a little while. Chalk this next season up as a lost season and move forward after that.
Well, here's the thing. The Gus Malzahn went, first of all, Tom Herman, I don't like that at all. But Gus Malzahn, I mean, what's the big thing that Jeremy Pruitt could not do? What's the big thing that in the last 10 years a coach for UT could not do? They couldn't beat Alabama.
Yeah.
I mean, at least Gus Malzahn beat Alabama and Nick Saban three times since 2013. He also beat Georgia a couple of times. I mean, Pruitt was 0-9 against Bama, Georgia, and Florida. And, you know, so when you think about somebody who had and just look at the East compared to the West, you know, look, and here's a guy you say, would he take it? Why not? Because he's not under any financial prop, you know, as far as pressure, because he got well paid leaving Auburn. And here's a guy that knows how to beat Alabama, which we've kind of lost formula as far as if you're coaching Tennessee right now.
Okay, everything you just said is great from a Tennessee perspective, okay? If you're Gus Malzahn, do you want to deal with basically what's Auburn on steroids in terms of mismanagement and hands in the cookie jar and all that other crap off the field? Because He did it at Auburn, and it got him fired because Kevin Steele formed a coup 2 years ago to set him up. So do you want to deal with even more of that crap? Because Tennessee has got it. And do you want to deal with the Kevin Steele thing again? Because he's not going anywhere.
No.
You know? And
but we don't know what his role is. But here's the thing. We don't know what his role is. So that could be.
Absolutely zero chance that Gus Malzahn wants to be around that guy ever again. So,
but here's the thing, though. With Tennessee, look at the fact that with Gus Malzahn, I mean, if you're a Tennessee fan, and I say, okay, expect 8-4, 9-3 every year. Based on how bad Tennessee has been for a decade plus, would you not take that right now?
Oh, 100%. If you're from a Tennessee perspective, everything about that makes sense. I mean, 100% everything about that makes sense. But it's not like, you know, if you're Gus, do you want that? Knowing him a little bit, I don't think so.
And see, I like him. I don't know what your relationship is with him, but
really
I've always enjoyed my time around Gus. I mean, I've never understood. Well, I know why. Look, the reason why all the pressure at Auburn is because of the elephant in the room as far as up in Tuscaloosa. I mean, how many programs would be successful in the eyes of their fan base, knowing inside the same state you've got a Nick Saban and what they've been able to pull off? And so I think it's totally unfair for Gus Malzahn. Look, Les Miles lived in the Nick Saban shadow, and look how close on so many games, a lot of bad luck, but look how many games that LSU took Alabama down to the wire. But Les Miles was still living, even after a national championship, still living in the shadows of Nick Saban.
He was. But, I mean, Gus, I think, Auburn, you and I have talked about this. Auburn's more like cousins to Alabama as opposed to little brother now because of Gus Malzahn, because of the fact that they were able to achieve this ultimate success during Alabama's run and were able to, you know, beat Alabama, you know, three times. I think, yeah, there's that aspect to it. And Gus would be a great sort of 180 from the shady stuff that Jeremy Pruitt's done, because Gus, from an honesty standpoint and from an integrity standpoint, he's awesome.
I've never heard anything major. Did you ever hear anything major out of Auburn? I never did.
No, not at all. Not at all. And he gets people to play. He gets the right kids to play for him and play together. So sometimes they're not the most talented, and that is probably why he's no longer there, because it's kind of hard to do that in the SEC at an elite level. But he does a great job. He's got great character. He'd be a great hire. And I think from a PR perspective, you couldn't ask for a better guy, because you're right. There's football Gus, who's kind of robotic. And then there's non-football Gus, who's like one of the best guys ever. And I think the last couple of years at Auburn, he really has started to let his personality show. And I think that was welcome. That was the one thing that I think a lot of folks that made the decision to let him go really, really were sad about, is that he's a guy who really opened up and really started to show his personality more so than he ever had before. And that was doing, I think, that was helping him attract not necessarily players, but just people that want to be around him. And, you know, it's something Tennessee could use right now. But again, I don't think Gus wants that smoke.
Barrett Salee joining us. I'm looking ahead for the next 2-3 months, but as far as the transfer portal, I think this has the opportunity to be a major PR nightmare for college athletics. And I understand with COVID-19, universities, period, with all the cuts that they've had to do, but I just keep going back to the fact that there's not going to be, if you're playing musical chairs, just not enough chairs to go around for everybody.
No, there's not. There's not. The fact that you've kind of got this perfect storm of more kids in the transfer portal, the free year of eligibility, the one-time transfer probably going into effect soon, and that regular recruiting. You know, there are not going to be many roster spots available. And so if you're, you know, a lot of people are in the portal are going to be stuck homeless. And I think that's not many players are thinking like that, and they should. But I think in long-term And from a long-term standpoint, you might see a contraction in terms of, you know, the has and the have-nots. You might see more teams come closer together because there are going to be some halfway decent players that end up at schools that maybe aren't traditional powers. So I don't know. It's going to be bad. There's no doubt, and it's going to be hard for a lot of players to find homes. There might be players who end up going to the FCS that really, you know, shouldn't be there. They should be better and be in better schools. So I don't know. It's going to be interesting to see. Roster management for the next 3-4 years is going to be pretty difficult.
Hey, by the way, going back to the Tennessee situation, knowing that they were doing their own investigation, trying to come up with as much dirt as possible on Jeremy Pruitt, I wonder how the NCAA will treat this as far as – because it's not like Tennessee is just doing the right thing. You know, they had an agenda. They had a purpose. So if I'm the NCAA, I don't know exactly how I'm supposed to interpret that.
Well, yeah, it's funny, right? Because, you know, a lot of times the investigations and compliance departments, they're obviously there to find stuff, but find minimal stuff, you know,
right.
Find the stuff that will make the harm, you know, as negligible as possible. Like, it sounds like Tennessee hired a law firm and had their compliance department go out and actively search for as much dirt as possible, which is, you know, whatever. It's Tennessee, right? Tennessee is as most dysfunctional program in the country. So, you know, in one aspect, it's surprising because you've never really seen something like that before. But then on the other hand, it's Tennessee. So would you expect anything different?
But here's the thing. It reminds me of when you had a chance to turn around the Boston Red Sox, then the Chicago Cubs. You know, they build statues when you're able to do something like that because they had not won forever. It's almost that same situation because, first and foremost, it starts with the new AD. Who's going to be the new AD to lead this program moving forward? And if you're an AD out there, knowing you get a pay bump, but also the fact that if you can, you know, I wouldn't say pull off a miracle, but if you can get this program heading in the direction that the fans are accustomed to as well, I mean, you can, because there's been such lack of success for so long, I mean, you can be a major hero on that campus.
You can be, no doubt. If you can find a way to go 7-5, 8-4 every year, I mean, I know Tennessee fans probably, well, they do expect more and they want more. They're going to have to settle for that. Like, that's, if you can find a coach to go 7-5, 8-4 for 10 years, Tennessee fans at this point better recognize that how bad it can get if that's not good enough.
I am amused. By the way, I'm amused where they say, well, we'll get, name an AD and he'll hire the new football coach. How many people are believing that?
Yeah, that's not happening.
I mean, you're talking about having hands in the cookie jar. I mean, how many of these folks are going to be able to stay out of that hire?
None.
Like, absolutely.
Man, no one does it better than Tennessee, like ever. It's amazing.
Yeah, we always appreciate you. Remind everybody again the best ways to keep up with all your college football coverage.
Yeah, follow me on every single social media account, trying to sign up for as many of them as possible because they seem to be adding on to each other by the day. But, yeah, follow on social media at Barrett's the Lead. Download the CBS Sports app at the App Store, Google Play, and watch CBS Sports HQ across all streaming devices.
Hey, we appreciate you, buddy. Have a great rest of the week. We'll talk soon.
Thanks, Johnny.
All right. A little bit later this hour, Teresa Walker with the Associated Press here in Nashville. Open segment. If you'd like to be a part of the show, 615-844-5600. By the way, Memphis Grizzlies, they'll be back in action tomorrow night, 8:30 as far as pregame tip, just after 9 as they're on the road to take on Portland. In fact, next two games at Portland tomorrow night and also same times for Friday night. But nice win for them last. Hey, this team has now won, what, 5 straight games. They beat Phoenix yesterday, 108-104, and Ja Morant, 17 points, 10 assists. So a 5-game winning streak, 1 game above 500. They're half game out of first place in the division. So major thumbs up to the Memphis Grizzlies. Back in action once again. You'll hear it right here on Nashville Sports Radio tomorrow night, 8:30 for the pregame tip just after 9. And speaking of the NBA, you know, basketball is back, and you know what that means. It's time for me personally, and you should do this too. Fire up the FanDuel Sportsbook app From the opening tip to the final buzzer, there's so many ways to bet on FanDuel. First of all, the ease of use. It's easy to register, easy to deposit, and easy to find your bet. How about getting your money fast? When you win, FanDuel pays your winnings in as little as 24 hours. Also, other things that I enjoyed it during football season, certainly for basketball as well, odds boost and specials every day, and some big super boost each and every weekend. Right now, if you've never thought about basketball, betting on basketball, how about this? Now is the perfect time to give FanDuel a shot. If you sign up today, FanDuel will let you place your first bet risk-free. That's right. They'll give you up to $1,000 back if you don't win. And when you do win, FanDuel pays you your winnings in as little as 24 hours. You don't have to track down some shady bookie for your money. Here's the thing. Do me a favor. When you download the FanDuel Sportsbook app, sign up and use the promo code FRANKS so they know that I sent you. Once again, that's FanDuel Sportsbook. Use the promo code FRANKS. You must be 21 and older and present in Tennessee. Site credit is non-withdrawable and expires 14 days after receipt. Terms apply. See sportsbook.fanduel.com for details. For problem gambling support, call 800-889-9789.
Good afternoon. Still a little bit heavy, slower than normal on Vietnam Vets going eastbound as you travel through Hendersonville, out around Gallatin Pike, all from an earlier car fire. That jammed it up pretty good already at times on 65 northbound on that ramp to Vietnam Vets. Heavy here on 24 west up by Ellington Parkway. Busy, but it's moving on 40 eastbound through Hermitage as you head out into Wilson County. Ripley's Aquarium of the Smokies will be hosting Sleep of the Sharks on March 27th. All the details at Ripley's Aquarium of the Smokies. I'm Commander Chuck, you're on time traffic.
George Plaster and Watson Brown to talk with you about a friend of ours, Jody Jones Dentistry. And Watson, we've both visited this beautiful new studio he has in the Music Row area. Man, it is spectacular.
It sure is. And I've known Jody George since he was a kid. His mom and dad, Doug and Lucy, are as good of friends as I have. It was an honor to coach Jody at Vanderbilt. And Jody was one of those tough guys, very smart, highly competitive, unbelievable work ethic. It does not surprise me that he's had a wonderful dentist practice as he does.
22 years worth, and it includes cosmetic dentistry, veneers, crowns, laser bleaching, and they have a hygiene department with microscope technology. If you want an appointment, you simply call them at 615-259-5100 or go on their website, jodyjonesdds.com.
Hey Nashville, this is Crazy Charlie Sonia, and it's time to put 2020 in the rear view mirror as I tell you all about Bongo Java. Nashville's oldest and most celebrated coffee company now is also located in the Omni Nashville Hotel. Bongo Java's expert baristas take pride in their trade, serving up fresh, locally roasted coffee and fresh baked goods all day long. For me, there's no better way to start the day than with the Egg McBongo. It's perfect. A fried egg with cheddar jack cheese on an English muffin. That, paired with a cup of coffee, is the best way to start your day at Bongo Java in the Omni Nashville Hotel. You can kick back and listen to the spin of vinyl records while enjoying a board game or two with all of your best friends. Open at 7 days a week and brewing up till 2. Bongo Java adds to the great Omni Nashville Hotel experience. That's Bongo Java, located in the Omni Nashville Hotel, 5th Avenue, downtown.
Hey guys, it's Zach from Millennial Sports Mornings here to talk to you about Hayes Nissan of Rivergate. They have been serving the Nashville area for more than 28 years with a long-standing tradition of providing outstanding customer service to anyone who steps on their lot. Whether you're looking to buy, lease, or service your vehicle, you can be sure that their team will dedicate themselves to your individual needs. They also offer much more than just legendary customer service. They will help you find the vehicle that fits your lifestyle, personality, and most importantly, your budget. If you like what you hear, then simply call to schedule an appointment at 615-865-7220. Again, that's 615-865-7220. Or you can just stop by at 1550-1550 Gallatin Pike North in Madison. And check them out on the web at nissanofrivergate.com. And look, you can trust me. Not only am I a spokesperson, but I'm a customer. That's Nissan of Rivergate, where your dollar always goes farther.
Your exclusive Nashville Sports Radio WNSR Skyscan forecast for this afternoon: dry with a mix of sun and clouds, high middle 50s, light westerly winds. Mostly cloudy tonight, low 30. Mostly sunny tomorrow, Wednesday, not as warm, midweek high 48. Utilizing the resources of the WeatherBug Network on Nashville Sports Radio, I'm WNSR's TJ Matthews.
Sports Radio WNSR.
Listen to the Johnny Ballpark Frank Show online live at WNSR.com.
Welcome back. Johnny Ballpark Franks with you, along with Zach Williams. We talked about this earlier, the Vanderbilt men's game tomorrow night as far as basketball, hosting Texas A&M, called off COVID-19 issues for Vanderbilt. How about the fact that the Predators, you know, they played Carolina last night. The Preds lost to the Hurricanes 4-2, but tonight's game postponed due to COVID-19 issues. So, we'll see what happens now. Now, here's the thing. The Hurricanes, they don't return to Nashville until the last weekend of the regular season, which will be the weekend of May 7th through the 8th. But you wonder with issues on both sides, with the Hurricanes and even the Predators too, you wonder if this impacts either one of these teams moving forward. But the decision was made in a statement released earlier today by the NHL. The decision was made out of an abundance of caution to ensure the health and safety of players, coaches, and game day personnel, and in consultation with medical experts. So no Preds tonight. No Vanderbilt basketball as far as men's is concerned tomorrow night against A&M. We got the news yesterday that the Vanderbilt women's team has called off the rest of their year due to COVID-19 issues, and what, they were down to just 7 healthy players, and so they went ahead and canceled. But you know that the Duke women's team, they've canceled the rest of their season. Virginia has done the same thing. So COVID-19 still a major problem with the athletic teams, you know, across the country, whether you're talking about amateur or professional wise.
Yeah. Well, I think, too, a lot of these places, like, are hampered. A lot of these conferences are hampered, especially, like, the ones who went and did the bubble. The bubble was good for what it was, but it didn't teach these teams how to handle the travel restrictions and changing. They didn't have to deal with that part, which is what, you know, causes a lot of this, is that they're traveling. So, and having the freedom of going out at night or doing whatever they want to do, even though they probably shouldn't or maybe demanded that they aren't able to. I think we're going to see like the MLB and the NFL next season better equipped to handle this than we're seeing what, you know, hockey and the NBA are having to deal with, because this is the first time they're dealing with it. So they don't have the playbook themselves. They, you know, this was the NFL and MLB. They have the playbook now because they dealt with it.
I mean, here we are, you know, past the midway point in January, knowing how slow it is as far as getting the vaccines out there. I don't see this going away anytime soon. I still think this is going to be a problem leading into maybe even the start of the football season. Because until we can do a great job of getting everybody vaccinated, you know, I still have major concerns how this all plays out this year.
Well, yes, but there's no reason for now that these conferences who have dealt with it, like the MLB and the NFL, they have already dealt with it and made mm-hmm. the season happen, had their championship. Well, the NFL's on the way to do it, but had their championships and have moved forward through the season. I just don't understand. I would be very confused why they would be stumbled upon or hindered again by COVID-19, because they did it when literally they had no clue what they were doing and still figured it out.
Well, because once again, people are not always doing the right things, you know, especially when you're trying to tell 18 to 22 year olds to do the right thing. And so that's the part. Also, with regards to, you know, where do you stand as far as attendance wise? I don't think we're going to be anything close to packed stadiums in the fall. Do you?
I don't know. UFC just had their first card with actual people there. Now, this is in Abu Dhabi on Fight Island, but they had around 2,500 people in the arena that they have built there. you're seeing the World Series. They had fans. I don't remember how many they had, but they had fans inside the World Series.
But it wasn't packed. I mean, no.
It wasn't packed. So I just don't know what – once again, you already did the thing, right? You already started it. So are you – is it fair to say they can go back and be like, all right, nothing there? Or do they start just keep slowly creeping it back up? And how long until we can see a fully filled stadium again?
I mean, we got to get these numbers down. I mean, yesterday we went over 400,000 deaths. I mean, and so it hasn't even been a full year yet. I mean, I go back to the words of President Trump, you know, that he told Bob Woodward, anything over 150,000 deaths is not acceptable. We're at 400,000 plus. I mean, that is just, I put it in this way. You know, it's almost, you know, filling up Nissan Stadium seven times. That's how many people as of by what this weekend, early part of next week. That's what we're talking about number wise. Not once, twice, three or four, seven times. That's how many people have died in the U.S. from COVID-19. I mean, when you put it in that perspective and just think about it, picture yourself at Nissan Stadium watching either a Titans game, a concert, a college football game, whatever the case may be. So imagine when it's totally full seven times. That's how many deaths have occurred in less than a year in the U.S. to COVID-19.
Kind of in hospital news. I don't know if you caught this. AJ Brown went on Instagram Live earlier today, which I doubt you did. You probably didn't. How many Instagram Lives have you ever watched?
That'd be none.
Yeah. Okay. So he had surgery on both of his knees, and he went on there and was on clearly, you know, medication after the surgery, and probably not a good time for him to go on Instagram Live. But he said that he was told in week two that he was done for the year by the doctors and played through that for the whole rest of the season. And then he went on to say that he wants to be a Titan for life, and that Mike Vrabel will probably cuss him out for being on Instagram Live talking about all this.
And he likes Johnny Ballpark Frank so much that he's going to give him 10% of his salary from 2020.
Well, maybe in this moment you could, while he's on the good stuff out there. Both surgery in both his knees. And
well,
was told
that reminds me. That reminds me of Michael Thomas, who certainly should not have been out there, but mm-hmm. he knew that this was Drew Brees' last hurrah. He wanted to be with Drew Brees, going to making a run to a Super Bowl. But this was a guy. I mean, he's got major surgery ahead of him as far as the
torn deltoid.
A little bit of everything there, but he shouldn't have been out. You saw him at the end where he's certainly not 100%.
No.
But that just goes to show you how much he wanted to be out there for Drew Brees' last hurrah. All right, coming up, we'll have a chance to visit with Teresa Walker with the Associated Press here in Nashville. She's coming up on the other side. You're listening to Nashville Sports Radio.
Good evening. Traffic still moving right along as we check it out. Live 65 down into Brentwood, Franklin, all the way down through Williamson County to Spring Hill. Traffic still not bad to the north on 65. It was a little slow earlier up there on Vietnam Vets going back towards Sumner County because of that earlier car fire. Ripley's Aquarium of the Smokies will be hosting Sleep with the Sharks March 27th. All the details at ripleysaquariumofthesmokies.com. I'm Commander Chuck with your on-time traffic.
Texting enrolls you into reoccurring automated text messages. Message and data rates may apply.
Come on, one more rep. You got this.
10.
There it is. Nice work, man. You're a beast.
Thanks, man. I feel better than I have in years. And I got to tell you, taking Nugenix makes a huge difference for me.
Nugenix? That's the testosterone booster with TV ads with Frank Thomas. The big hurt, right?
Oh, yeah. This is a legit product. The key ingredient is Testofen, which helps boost free testosterone levels and increase lean muscle mass.
Well, it's clearly working for you. Hey, are they still giving out complimentary bottles for people to try for themselves?
Yeah, Nugenix is a great way to increase lean muscle and feel stronger with more energy and endurance.
Man, I need to get a complimentary bottle of Nugenix.
No problem. You just got to send them a text. Text STREAK to 321-321 right now for your complimentary bottle of Nugenix, the number one selling free testosterone booster at GNC. Nugenix samples are not available in stores, so text STREAK to 321-321 right now. Text STREAK to 321-321. That's STREAK to 321-321.
It's time to say see you later, alligator, to embarrassing and troublesome issues with your skin, nails, and hair with all-natural Cayman alligator oil. Cayman Oil is locally made, right in Louisiana, where people have been using alligator oil for centuries to treat all kinds of ailments. A drop a day of Cayman Oil can help you say, "See you later, alligator," to athlete's foot, nail fungus, acne, eczema, rashes, dry skin, cuts, infections, MRSA, scars, burns, sunburns, and even ingrown hair and dandruff. If you or someone you know is tired of suffering with any of these skin, nail, and hair troubles, you need to visit mycayman.com to learn more about 100% natural, non-toxic, hypoallergenic Cayman oil and get a bottle today. Say, "See you later, alligator," with Cayman Alligator Oil at mycayman.com. That's mycayman.com. mycayman.com.
The NFL family is committed to conversations and actions that advance social justice and move us towards a more equal and just tomorrow. The NFL created Inspire Change to reduce barriers to opportunity and create progress in police-community relations, criminal justice reform, education, and economic advancement. Join NFL players, clubs, and the league in ensuring that access to opportunity is a reality for all. It takes all of us to end racism and hate. Learn more at NFL.com/inspirechange.
It's a Bill King Show.
Whether you like Alabama or not, you're witnessing an unparalleled, unprecedented run. You're living it. You're watching it. You have memories that are deep of it. To be that dominant, you don't get to see that through the years that much. But this right here is crazy. This right here is off the chart. Can't believe it's happening, and they're not slowing down.
Weekday mornings beginning at 6 on Sports Radio 560 on 95.9 FM.
Sports Radio, WNSR.
Take Johnny Ballpark Franks on the go by downloading the WNSR app. Search your app store for Nashville Sports Radio.
Welcome back, Johnny Ballpark Franks with you. Time to visit with a Hall of Famer. Not once, not twice, not three times, four-time Sports Writer of the Year. And just all-around great person, Teresa Walker with the Associated Press here in Nashville. And Teresa, it seems like we have this conversation every 3 years. Time to hire a new head football coach over in Knoxville.
And this time around, also an athletic director which will be hired first, as opposed to the last time when they had an athletic director. He thought he had a coach. That fell through. He thought he had another coach. And then suddenly he doesn't have a job. He's suspended, and Phil Fulmer is the new AD, and he hired the coach. So that didn't work very well, did it, for Tennessee people. So, Tennessee is starting over yet again, as I wrote yesterday. And, I mean, it's impossible to see that Tennessee just keeps digging themselves deeper. And it's like, at some point, don't you have to accidentally hire a good coach and, you know, and a talented athletic director if only by chance? I mean, you know, I think they're now going to, you know, because you had Dave Hart, then you had John Curry for not only a few months, not even really a year, and then, you know, Philip Fulmer, and, you know, before Dave Hart, you know, you had Joan Cronin, who was, you know, kind of the, you know, an interim AD for a while, and before that, Mike Hamilton. I mean, it's just, and then, you know, the coaches, you know, after Fulmer, you know, was forced out, then you had Kiffin, Derek Dooley, Butch Jones, Jeremy Pruitt. This is going to be the fifth different coach that they have hired, you know, since Fulmer won the SEC East last in 2007. I mean, it's just, and I'll admit, I lost track yesterday. It's like they keep piling up at this point. And the only thing that's piling up worse is their losses in the SEC and, you know, the margins by which they lose those games. So, it was a very interesting day yesterday. Johnny, I mean, we kind of expected this, right? I had prep on Jeremy Pruitt being fired for, you know, shoot, I wrote it before the Vanderbilt game. And, you know, and then yet it just kind of kept waiting. We felt like it was waiting for that shoe to drop. And, boy, Donnie Plowman and Tennessee dropped a box of shoes yesterday. You know, not just Jeremy Pruitt out, but two of his assistants and seven other people on staff, a total of 10 people out the door. And, you know, and she described stunning, shocking level one, level two violations, and the NCAA is already on it. I mean, this is, if you, for the people who think this was just to get him out and avoid the buyout, Lordy, just the publicity alone, you know, it might have been worth the $16 million or what, 12 point whatever, total of $18.6 million or so for the whole coaching staff, just to avoid that and now the NCAA cloud that is over this program. Because, you know, they've been over there, you know, opened a case in December. They got their first, you know, Tennessee Pileman's office got the first tip November 13th, and the NCAA is on it. You know, the investigators really picked up here in the last 10 days. So, you know, whoever you end up hiring has got to deal with quite a mess, not to mention 19 players have left. You know, one of the schools got maybe the most players in a transfer portal, and you got to salvage a signing day in 2 weeks. And, I mean, it's just a flat mess. We thought the dumpster fire search of 2017 was low. Get ready.
But, see, I think it gets worse because the fact that what they're doing with Jeremy Pruitt knows other things, by the way. And, you know, that's why when you see programs cut ties with a coach, even if they are, there's cause or whatever, you know, they still end up getting money. And it's to keep – they're buying the silence part. Now, Jeremy Pruitt is not going to get a head coaching job anytime soon. And so because of that, it's like, boy, you think it's bad now. I don't know if we've seen the bottom yet on how bad this could get just because of all of a sudden the lips start flapping and there's more information that's out there.
Oh, absolutely. And he's already retained an attorney who's made it very clear that they are not happy whatsoever, that they think this was orchestrated simply to avoid his buyout. And this is a gentleman who has represented other coaches. You know, he's kind of seen as a firebrand kind of attorney. And shoot, you read his statement last night. You know, he made it very clear. Pruitt was extremely disappointed and, you know, thought that this was all managed and orchestrated to, you know, with one end, and that was to get rid of Pruitt and avoid that buyout. So, you know, Tennessee better have the evidence. And, you know, from Plowman yesterday, you know, they met with the attorneys on Friday. Attorneys, you know, were costing about $1,000 an hour between the two of them. Hired, you know, they sent the engagement letter to that law firm November 19th. So, you know, they have something. Now, you know, and the attorneys that were hired, you know, because they're really good at protecting universities and colleges, not coaches. So, you know, you would got to think that they have got a paper trail here, that they have built their case to do what they did. And, you know, I know that the statement from the Pruitt's attorney said that, you know, Plowman didn't even read, you know, Pruitt's interview last week. Well, that's not a whole lot, Johnny. I mean, I'm sorry. If Tennessee has the paperwork and the documentation to back up her comments yesterday, then, you know, he's going to have to fight real hard to get some money out of this. You know, and he does know some things. And, you know, that's where, you know, we'll see if this ends up getting most likely settled to avoid going to court and, you know, opening up things. But, you know, this is a dark day. And then Philip Fulmer, in the midst when they're talking about recruiting violations, level right. one, level twos, says that it's in a good shape. And I'm like, I wasn't the only one listening to that and saying,
well, remember,
what?
He compared Jeremy Pruitt to Johnny Majors back during the middle of the season. And, oh, by the way, all the glowing things about when Tennessee got the Liberty Bowl nod as well. And, by the way, I don't know about your sources. There's nothing about Phil Fulmer just deciding to retire just like that. You know, everything I've certainly been told, forced to retire. And I always thought all along Jeremy Pruitt and Philip Fulmer were attached as far as when one goes, both goes anyway.
Well, kind of had to, right? I mean, you know, Fulmer was hired and he hires Jeremy Pruitt, a coach with a good resume but had not been a head coach. Okay, I don't care how many national titles you help win as an assistant or a defensive coordinator. It's not the same thing as running a whole program, particularly in the Power Five, you know, where and in the SEC. And so, you know, that's the thing. It's like, could Tennessee trust Phil Fulmer to make that hire again?
Yeah, but did he technically hire him? Did he really hire him though, or? I mean, because, you know as well as I do with all the rich boosters behind the scenes that like to have the fingers in the cookie jar, you know, no one's just going to allow just one person to make this decision.
No matter who signed off or said this is the guy to hire, Phil Fulmer's name is the one on the deal. You know, he was the one who, you know, was at the news conference. He was the one who, as you mentioned, not only called him Johnny Majors, gave him a contract extension in September.
Why were you in a big hurry? Why were you even thinking? Why were you, there was no rush. It wasn't like people were going to be beating down the doors trying to hire Jeremy Pruitt.
Oh, but come on, Johnny. We know what that was. You know, Philip Fulmer's age is when a coach won a bowl game, you get a pay raise and a contract extension. That's how it was done. Unfortunately, you know, and when they started talking about this in February, and Fulmer said these talks began in February. Well, the problem is in March, we kind of knew that we were in unprecedented times. And by June, you know, we knew that they were going to be facing some issues. So, and this, you know, nice thing is delayed the pay raise till next year. Well, that was a really nice thing. But, you know, maybe they should have put the whole thing on ice and said, you know, we'll revisit this after a year. Instead, they went ahead, signed the paperwork. It, you know, came out late September. It made no sense then. Makes less sense today.
Well, what makes less sense for me is the fact that you throw out Derek Dooley, then Butch Jones, then Jeremy Pruitt. No experience as a head coach for a Power 5 conference with those names, right? You've got a Tennessee team, number 10, most wins ever in college football history, right? You have a rich tradition. Now, as I was saying at last hour, most folks in high school don't understand what I'm talking about. I get that. But the bottom line is that's what Tennessee was for the first 150 years. And my point is, if you're that, if you have that great tradition, you've got that stadium, you've got that fan base, why are you messing around hiring Group of Five head coaches anyway? Go out and get somebody with Power Five coaching experience as far as a head coach is concerned.
I completely agree. I mean, and that's the thing. Has it been that Tennessee was just too cheap and didn't want to spend in it? Or because of the situations they, you know, Butch Jones should have been fired in October, the year that he was finally let go. And, you know, that was part of the problem there. You know, John Curry had been on the job for a few months, and, you know, I don't know why, but, you know, we all knew in Tennessee that, you know, that season was going to be a decider for Butch Jones. And after the loss to Georgia in October, you know, he should have been, we were all expecting him to be fired by 5 o'clock the next day, and it didn't happen. So, you know, and then before, you know, he wanted Dan Mullen allegedly. Well, then, you know, if he had moved quickly, you could have had Dan Mullen signed up before he goes to Florida. And then, you know, and then Tennessee ended up in that search, you know, that, you know, there was the Greg Schiano mess, and, you know, you can have your opinions on, you know, how much Tennessee bent to the fan, you know, furor on Twitter that day. But, you know, the fact of the matter is they went from talking to Greg Schiano and having him ready to come to Dave Doering, to Mike Leach, talk about dodging another bullet there. I mean, it was just the names that they were talking to just don't make sense. You know, yes, I understand you want an up-and-coming coach, but Tennessee is at a point where you kind of need somebody to get it back on the road.
Right.
And, you know, getting players there has not been a problem. Butch Jones was able to recruit. You know, Jeremy Pruitt was able to recruit. You should be able to hire people who can recruit, okay, even if the head coach doesn't. And hire somebody who can actually coach. You know, that's been the biggest issue. You know, the gap that Jeremy Pruitt was talking about after the Alabama game, it's like, I'm sorry, it's just getting bigger between Tennessee and the rest of the SEC. The only school that Tennessee has not, you know, has managed to close the gap with is Vanderbilt at this point. And Clark Lee is now on the job on West End, and he's going to have a chance to, you know, make his way into this rivalry. But, you know, right now, you know, you've got Kentucky feeling really, really good about where they are in the SEC East because they keep finishing ahead of Tennessee. That says as much about where Tennessee is. And you mentioned 10th all-time wins. That's despite how bad this program has been over the last 12 years.
That's why I threw out earlier, you know, here's one thing Tennessee can't do. They can't beat Alabama, can't beat Georgia, can't beat Florida in the last 3 years. But, you know, somebody who was able to beat Alabama was Gus Malzahn. He needs a job. I mean, so I'm pretty sure right now Tennessee fans would love 8 or 9 wins a year. They'd be quite happy with that based on where they stand. But we'll get more into this conversation. Before we let you go, Teresa, remind everybody the best ways to keep up with your coverage.
Like my page on Facebook. Follow me on Twitter. Do both at Teresa M. Walker.
Take a breath because there'll be another busy day again tomorrow, I'm sure.
You know it. Thank you, Johnny.
Have a great week. That's Teresa Walker with the Associated Press here in Nashville. Quick reminder, designated drivers are the real MVP. So if you've been drinking, Pass your keys to a sober friend. The Tennessee Highway Safety Office reminds you that fans don't let fans drive drunk.
Good evening. Traffic still moving right along as we check it out live. 65 down into Brentwood, Franklin, all the way down through Williamson County to Spring Hill. Traffic still not bad to the north on 65. It was a little slow earlier up there on Vietnam Vets going back towards Sumner County because of that earlier car fire. Ripley's Aquarium of the Smokies will be hosting Sleep with the Sharks March 27th. All the details at ripleysaquariumofthesmokies.com. I'm Commander Chuck with your on-time traffic.
The award-winning Bob's Steak and Chop House, located in the Omni Nashville Hotel, is a nationally renowned steakhouse specializing in the finest corn-fed Midwestern prime beef. The menu formula is simple. Incredible meat, gigantic shrimp, fabulous salads, and decadent desserts. Classic steakhouse food prepared and presented in a manner that Bon Appetit calls the kind of fare you'll want to go back for again and again. Voted one of the top 50 restaurants in the country by Travel and Leisure magazine, and one of only 11 steakhouses in America that serves A5 Wagyu beef. Bob's Steak and Chop House is ready to host your private holiday parties and get-togethers. And if you need a stocking stuffer, there's no better gift than a Bob's Steak and Chop House gift card. To book your private holiday party, call 615-761-3707. Located downtown at the Omni Nashville Hotel, Bob's Steak and Chop House.
The old way of living with diabetes is a pain. You've got to remember to do your testing, and you always need to be sticking your fingers. The new way to live your life with diabetes is with a continuous glucose monitor. You simply apply a discreet, easy-to-use sensor on your body, and it continuously monitors your glucose levels, helping you spend more time in range and freeing you from painful finger pricks. If you test your blood sugar at least 4 times per day and inject insulin at least 3 times per day, or use an insulin pump and have private insurance or Medicare, you might be eligible for a CGM with little or no cost to you. Call U.S. Medical Supply today for a free benefits check. We offer free shipping, 90-day supplies, and we bill Medicare or your insurance directly. Call now and say goodbye to finger pricks.
800-806-9554. 800-806-9554. 800-806-9554. That's 800-806-9554.
Pennington Distilling Company is a proud sponsor of WNSR's Pickin' with the Pickers with Greg Pogue and John Burton. Pickers Vodka, Pickers Unplugged Seltzers, and canned cocktails are all available and made right here in Nashville, along with the award-winning Davidson Reserve line of whiskeys and Whisper Creek, Tennessee Sippin' Cream. Learn more by touring the distillery in the nation's neighborhood, by following Pennington Distilling Company on social media, or online at PenningtonDistillingCo.com.
Your exclusive Nashville Sports Radio WNSR SkyScan forecast for this afternoon: dry with a mix of sun and clouds.